When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You have got to be kidding me. How in the world did that just happen? What? How? Henry, help me here. What just happened?
It's just like, this feels like it's the fifth time that exact same thing has happened.
And was this one on steroids? Let's jump into that in this game. But first, got to welcome you into the DNVR Broncos podcast. Of course, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, where you can bet live on the Broncos to win. You can bet live on the Broncos to lose. Probably even better, though. You can bet live on the Broncos to hit the under as it did for what? The 11th time in 12 games? Oh, my goodness. Boring? Bad? It was all of that today for the Broncos. And make sure to use code DNVR over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Henry, how you feeling right now about the Broncos? Because they for 59 minutes and 29 seconds. They were either tied or ahead in this game.
It's just crazy. Like, we're right here again. I mean, we both got tagged in it. This is not on the defense. It's like, it's the same conversation that we've had five times. Is it on the defense when the defense falls apart in the final five minutes after being great up to that point? Do we have to do this again? My God.
Yeah,
over and over and over again. The whole thing just felt so predictable.
It felt almost too predictable.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there and it's Tyler Huntley trying to lead
there
the game-winning drive. And it's like, okay, this would just be worse than you could ever imagine. Not good. They're going to hold up. They just are. It's going to flip. Nope. Of course, it just is the exact same thing. So let's just jump right in, Henry. Who is to blame most for the Denver Broncos 10-9 loss to the Baltimore Ravens, who were 7-4 coming into this game, who lost Lamar Jackson after the first quarter?
This is maybe the toughest one of these this year, I think. Because to me, like, you look through, I honestly, like, it felt like the Broncos offense was better than 9 points, which it obviously wasn't. They put up 9 points.
I'm not going to
no,
disagree.
No, but I disagree with me. That's the problem. But like, you look through and say, is Russell Wilson the reason they didn't win? It's like, I mean, obviously didn't help too much, but he had an efficient day, like 189 yards, 17-22, no turnovers. That's 100 rating. He had a couple of timely runs. Off the top of my head, I don't say, like, oh, Russell Wilson, this is your fault. Like, the play calling, a couple weird ones, but that offense felt like it was moving better than it has in the past, so I don't want to say, Clint Kubiak, you're the problem. That looked like one of the more competent offenses of the year, like Latavius Murray for having 2.8 yards per carry. It's Latavius Murray. That's what he does. It's like, the offense, I honestly don't know. I don't know. Like, Hackett. Let's just say Hackett.
We've talked about he doesn't do much in a game.
I don't know.
So how can you put blame on someone that doesn't do anything?
I don't know.
That's like putting this game on Brett Rippon, being like, well, you didn't do anything.
I know. But here we are. Who do you blame?
So
can you go with the defense on this one? I don't think you can.
You can. I'm not going to make that case as them being the number one, but we are going to have to dive into the defense. So let's throw some contenders out there.
Okay.
I think you do have the defense because of what happened
at the end,
the end of the game. You have Russell Wilson. I mean, your quarterback always has to be in the conversation when you're talking about a win or a loss. They're going to get too much credit. They're going to get too much blame. So we'll put him in there. Mm-hmm. The running game? Should we put in there? Okay.
I think so.
And then let's do, instead of Hackett, let's do play calling. And maybe if we want to talk, I mean, do we want to put it all on Clint Kubiak? Or do we want to say, as Nathaniel Hackett calls it, like the offensive system that they run? So maybe we'll do offensive system that they kind of had going on today. And to me, The running game was bad. I mean, 3.1 yards per carry, and that's including two Russell Wilson scrambles, which weren't designed. So really, you don't give too much credit to them for that. So you're looking at Latavius Murray running for 2.8 yards per carry.
Yep.
Mike Boone running for 3 yards per carry. Marlon Mack, 1.5 yards per carry. And then Montrell Washington, his lone carry of the day, goes for negative 1 yards. Boy, that is really, really tough. But Henry, I got to go with the offensive scheme system that we're calling here, because it just, it, like you said, it felt better than it was. 0 touchdowns. Henry, we've got the Miami Dolphins, San Francisco 49ers game on the TV here. Before you and I could even look up at the start of the game, the Dolphins had already scored a touchdown 50 seconds into the game. The Broncos had 60 times more of football than the Dolphins did today so far. 0 touchdowns.
Yeah.
0 touchdowns.
Oh, I remember.
The Broncos are averaging just over 11 points per game since the bye. Remember, you're supposed to kind of get a boost after a bye, especially with like a new team, new system, new quarterback, new head coach, new play caller, all that stuff kind of working in your advantage. Nope. They've gone backwards. Beep, beep, beep. And you know what they did again today? They backed it up even more. 9 points, not a single touchdown. So this has to be put on some part of the offense. Henry, there were just too many times in the game where it's like, oh my God, did they figure it out? Especially that first drive.
Yeah.
And we'll dive into that in a second. But then they just do something. It's like, good job. Look at you. You're moving down the field. You're doing things well. And then, no. Shotgun, run on third. No, what are we doing here? Don't do that. And there were just too many times where that came up. So that's where I'm going to put the blame primarily.
Yeah. I've got a conspiracy theory here.
Uh-oh.
What if you say special teams? Which, again, like, nobody thinks about special teams, but in a game with the slim margins, again, I don't look at anybody in particular and say, you really cost them the game. Like, it feels like everybody honestly was as good or better than they typically play.
On offense? Or
I think in general,
everywhere?
I think even the defense. Okay. Maybe, like, Sertan is still down. He had the big mistake. There's a couple of those.
Sure.
But, I mean, Corliss Waitman, rough day. We don't need to dig too deeply into that one, but I wound up averaging 41 yards. That's solid. There was a 35-yarder in there, 39-yarder in there. These are, like, not inside the 20, not touchbacks, nothing like that. Those were ugly. The 62-yarder from McManus, can you really blame him for that? Like, yeah, I don't know. But it definitely doesn't help the special teams case. Montrell Washington, I mean, the kick returns, 2 returns, 26 yards on kick returns.
Yeah.
That's an average of 13 yards per kick return.
That's brutal. I mean, he catches one at like the 16 and gets it out to the 20. It's like, what?
The special teams were bad.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that field position, there's an argument for, I don't know. The other tough part for me with all this is just that the standards are so low. Where it's like, Maybe it is Latavius Murray. Maybe Latavius Murray needs to do better than 47 yards on 17 carries. I can't ask that of him. I just can't. Like, maybe that's wrong of me, but I can't ask that of him.
I mean, I completely agree with you. And especially, I mean, the standards are so low, especially for the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
We are judging Latavius Murray's effort, which it looked fantastic today. And we're like, damn, he's giving it his all. He's having a great game.
Really seemed like he got everything there was there.
Oh, great. 2.8 yards per carry. Obviously not all on him, but the offensive line is in that as well. And Henry, speaking of the low standards, we're talking about, well first, before we dive into that, so you're putting it on special teams.
Why not?
Sure.
Why not?
Special teams. So let's take out running game and go Russ, special teams, offensive system, and defense.
Okay.
So those are the four. Let us know what you guys think
in
the comment section. So let's start off about those standards. The first drive, and let's just kind of look at the offense today. The first drive, 10-11 plays, 49 yards. The Broncos get to Baltimore's 34-yard line and a field goal. And boy, did that feel like, oh my gosh, the Broncos have found their ways.
Yep.
They are the team now. They're getting all the energy and momentum, and man, they've figured it out. Henry, it was less than a 50-yard drive. They only got to the 34-yard. I mean, it was still over a 50-yard kick. Yeah. But it felt great.
It did feel
like
incredible.
Points to start the game. It really did feel good.
It's like, wow, they're moving, like converting third downs. Like there's the third and short run.
Yep.
Dulcich had 27 yards on that drive. And you're like, oh, look, there it is. Russ hit him over the middle.
Yep.
He hit him over the middle.
He did. He was 3 for 3 to Dulcich.
Yep. Next couple drives, not great.
Oh, man. And then it got back to just classic Broncos football. But you know what? At the end of the first quarter, Henry, the Broncos are up 3-0. So you're like, from an offensive perspective, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And then you take a step back and you're like, no, that's 12 points
terrible.
Per game. It's
terrible.
Awful. And I think you're right. I think we're just like so beaten down with what the Broncos standards specifically on offense are right now that – this game in the moment felt better than it was. And then you take a step back, realize that they didn't get a touchdown, only 3 field goals, didn't have, they only had 1 drive with 10 or more plays, 2 drives with 8 with 6 or more plays on the day. Because you're right, the next 2 drives after that, 3 and out, and the first quarter where you have 1 drive for 49 yards and then your other 2 drives combined for 14 yards. I mean, the offense just completely fell off a cliff, and I want to dive into the offense a little further on how they were able to have that success, because I think we saw something at first that looked really good, and that was they were going multiple tight ends, 2 or 3 tight ends, Russell Wilson under center. And Russ was working and cooking off the play action in the boot.
Totally. And, obviously worked that first drive. Second drive, I think, was the one where he had, the rollout. I think it's Sutton right there, and he just puts the ball behind him. Like, that's a missed throw.
Yep.
And that would have been a first down. That changes everything.
Yep. And really quick, speaking of that one, the margin of error, not only the standard so low, the margin of error is, razor thin.
Yes.
It's like, well, when that pass wasn't completed, then of course they weren't going to have an opportunity to ever pick up the first down and continue the drive.
But I still tweeted after, the first drive works, the next 2 or 3 and outs. I think I tweeted after that third drive and said, hey, I like that they're going under center. I know it hasn't worked these last couple drives. You just got to stick with it, which is just an absurd thing to say.
Right.
For any other team, if that's what happens when there's going heavy through the first 3 drives, you're like, oh, time to change something up.
Right.
Time to say something new.
Right.
Try something new. But from what we've seen, it's like, there's something there. Missed a throw. But
I'm right there with you, Henry. Yeah. Again, the standards are so low that I was thinking the exact same thing, because it feels like what we've seen in the past has been even worse.
It has
than
been.
3 points per quarter, which is insane. But that first drive, there were 10 plays. They had 5 plays with 3 tight ends, 3 plays with 2 tight ends, and 70% of those plays were from under center. So they went all in on this. And this was part of the script that they had, and they said, this is
first
how we're
15.
Going to try to expose the Baltimore Ravens. And boy, it worked better than really anything else they did.
Yeah.
And then, so what do? They come out and they do it again so far. More plays than not when they had 2 or 3 tight ends on the field as opposed to 3 wide receivers. And Russell Wilson, again, in the first quarter, was under center 75% of his snaps. And
love it.
Again, 3 points, but you were winning at the time.
Yeah.
And when you have a lead, you just want to, you can dictate then. Even if it's just 3-0, you don't have to chase.
Yep.
So stick with that. But then, Henry, after that, the Broncos just did nothing. And I mean, they had a 30-yard completion to Greg Dulcich at one point and then went nowhere after that, because then they just kind of got away from that setup and formation that they were dealing with. And what just blew my mind, and I think what kind of just crushed it, was in one of those 2 drives, after going under center, after going with 2 or 3 tight ends, the Broncos go shotgun on 3rd and 1 and just do an inside handoff. And guess what happens?
Didn't work?
It didn't work. And it's like, no, do anything else than that. Do anything else that something that doesn't work when you've kind of had this successful formula up to that point. And from then on out, we did see the Broncos kind of go back to the multiple tight ends, but they never stuck with it. It didn't look like that first drive did. And to me, again, that is on your offensive system. That's on your play callers, your creators, whoever's pulling those punches. And again, for another week in a row, the offense under Clint Kubiak calling plays has only got worse.
Yep. And, you know, the other side of this is that the Ravens do have a really good defense. And so, you have a lead. You see that first drive and think, like, oh, okay, this is good. We found something. I don't know. 9 points against the Ravens is the same as 20 against the Texans? 18 against the Texans?
Maybe 18.
You know, so sure, it's like, sure. we grade on a curve because we kind of have to with this Broncos
team.
It is so sad. The other side of that, though, is, I mean, we've seen it with the Broncos defense in the past. Some really, really good defenses. And what happens? Give up a score on the first drive, feel out the other team, and then all of a sudden they clamp them down the rest of the way.
Right.
And after that first drive, that's the thought I had where it's like, okay, you did it once. This is a really good Ravens defense. I wonder if it's like the, there's your one, and then nothing's going to work after.
So then the Ravens defense statistically is incredible. I think coming into this week, top two against the run. So really 3.1 yards per carry. That's not good, but you're also, it's not as bad.
Pretty
as
Pretty solid
it,
for the Broncos.
As bad as it could be. Yeah. I mean,
solid for the Broncos.
Unfortunately, I don't think you would take it, but you'd be like, oh, okay, not the worst if I said that to you before the game. But their pass defense, they have a lot of talent, so I don't want to discredit them. But coming into this game, they were like a borderline top-bottom 10 pass defense in the NFL. So you could throw the ball on them, and the Broncos were efficient throwing the ball. Russ finished 17 of 22, 77% completion, which is amazing, but only 189 yards. So is it a little too easy just to look at Russ and say 77% completion? He was efficient. He did what he needed to do, despite going up against, that was where you were going to win this game. We talked about it last week. Russ needs to put the team on his shoulders. Only 186 yards through the air.
Yep. And is that a good number? No.
Yeah.
But is that a better number than the rushing yards, 88 yards? I don't really know. It's
those,
kind of, again,
might
it goes
be like even.
Like,
it's
who
kind of
do you blame? Like, what is worse? I don't really know. Yeah. I will say, I mean, 8.6 yards per attempt for Russell. That's a good number.
Yeah.
That's an efficient day.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about efficiency is that it doesn't, it's like 3-point shooters where there's Luka Doncic who shoots like 36% from three, but that's because he takes 9 a game and half of them are just really dumb, but he makes enough that the 3-point percentage is like, oh, yeah, pretty good.
Right.
Or there's some where it's like, oh, DeAndre Jordan. Oh, he went 1-for-2 last season, 50% because he ever, you know? So it's the efficiency is worth something. I will say, in Russ's credit, he doesn't get to pick how often he throws. That's on play calling, not saying, hey, look, this is working. Let's get after it.
They were balanced. Russ dropped back 24 times, including 2 sacks, and they ran the ball 28 times.
Wow. And, I mean, you think about those passes, there would have been, I guess there was a run on that last drive too, though. So that's, was it 2 passes, 1 run on the last drive?
Because
sometimes the garbage time stuff,
yes,
you just kind of have to throw out.
So.
But
still, I mean, the balance was absolutely
still balanced.
There. Yeah.
Still very balanced. And you also can't blame a coach for saying, we have a 9-3 lead for a quarter and a half. Yes, you need to go score more points, but also there's another side of you that has to think they've got their backup quarterback. We, in the past 3 months, have not been able to score more points. Let's see if we can get the run game working, work off of it. In hindsight, you make a bunch of changes. You know, there's more bootlegs, more of that sort of stuff. But I don't know. So part of me just thinks like, Clint Kubiak, you want more out of him. What was the ceiling for this game? If he calls a perfect game, can he get this team to 30 points? I don't think so.
No,
like,
no,
but I don't
know.
You know, it's,
you'd hope 11, because 11 would have freaking won them this game, which is so crazy. And Henry, when you're talking about all of that, I'm reminded back to the great Mile High Joe Flacco.
Ah.
After the Broncos fall to 3-6 and a loss to the Indianapolis Colts a couple years ago when Joe was the quarterback, he says, we're a 3-6 football team. What are we doing here trying to be conservative, not trying to win the game, but instead just try to, like, keep a lead? What are we doing here? And that is how I felt in this game. And that can be on Nathaniel Hackett. That can be on Jerry Rosberg. who John Harbaugh talked about so highly of last week. That can be on them, because there were a couple of times where the Broncos faced a 4th-and-1 and in the third and fourth quarter, and they could have gone for it to be aggressive. Yep. And around midfield, we're not talking reckless like back at their own 20, and they decided not to. They decided to punt and say, we trust this defense. And I think that's absolutely foolish, because we've seen it time and time again. And I want to get into this defense, Henry, because they held the team to 3 points for 59 and a half minutes. That's amazing. They held the team to 10 points in an entire game. That is amazing. Yep. But they, once again, broke down. Let's talk about it after I tell you about our friends over Breckenridge Brew. We got a lot of people here at the bar drinking some Breck brews. And if you want to get yourself some, come down here. We're open for many more football games through the rest of the day. And, of course, you can check out Breckenridge Beer's Breck Finder, Brew Finder over at breckbrew.com, where you can see if you're in Denver, where a liquor store you can pick it up, a restaurant where you can get it, or if you're outside of Denver in Colorado, you can go there and they will show you not just what Breck brews they have, but exactly what beers you can get at certain locations. So check them out. They're the official partner of DNVR. And of course, make sure to get the Christmas Ale Mini Keg. It's a perfect thing for holidays or maybe Sunday night football tonight. So check them out, breckbrew.com.
Yes, and also go get insured. There's a great way to do that, and that is Denver Health Medical. Right now they have open enrollment. You can sign up between November 1st and January 15th. If you enroll in the next two-ish weeks, by December 15th, your coverage will begin on January 1st. This is obviously a local company. They have 10 family health centers in the Denver area. They have a main hospital with the outpatient medical center at Denver Health. So many perks with this these plans. Adult dental, adult vision, mental health care, all sorts of stuff that just come along with your regular copay. Go online to denverhealthmedicalplan.org or call 303-602-4912. To sign up.
And when you're online, how about you check us out over at thednvr.com. We are cranking out content on all beats, but I can represent us. I can talk for us. Broncos beat, you get all the news you need over at thednvr.com. And the great thing is, it's free. Most, if not all, of the articles that we post are open and free to the public. So make sure to check us out at thednvr.com. Make sure that's a place that you're just continually checking the news. We, of course, post it all on Twitter as well. So make sure you're following us and DNVR_Broncos on Twitter. And, of course, become a diehard with us. When you're over there at thednvr.com, you're going to get access to our Discord. You're going to get exclusive access to leave comments on this podcast, which we read many times a week. So check us out. And then, of course, exclusive merch. You get a discount over at the DNVR locker, and dropped a CU shirt, a couple of CU shirts and hoodies yesterday. And if you are a diehard, you get a discount on that. So make sure to check out everything we've got going on, especially if you're a CU football fan. Look at that one. I mean, that the one on the right, and it kills me to say that a CU thing looks good, but I mean, come on, look at that.
Wow.
Eric Weedham, a CSU grad, designed an awesome CU shirt for Coach Prime being in town. So check out everything over at thednvr.com. Okay, Henry, the defense, when you look at it just on paper, of course this isn't their fault. What are you doing talking about how the defense let the team down again this week? They're still one of the best defenses in the NFL. 10 points to the Baltimore Ravens?
Yep.
What's your feeling on the defense right now? Not after 59 minutes of the game, but after 60 minutes of the game. And you can feel good about him.
It was good for Justin Simmons to force a couple turnovers.
Speaking of, since you named him,
of course,
got to bring it up. Our DraftKings Sportsbook King of the Game, Mr. Turnover here.
Wow.
Two interceptions now. One. What are the Ravens doing? Just getting way too cute by having a Prochet throw a pass in the end zone. Now, good for Justin on capitalizing it. The other one, great job by Justin Simmons to read Huntley's eyes the whole play. Because Mark Andrews, it actually turned around and was wide open if Huntley would have seen him. But instead, Justin wasn't looking at the defender or the tight end. He was looking at Huntley. Great job of Justin to get his toes in. And then how about that on, was it the last drive of the game that Simmons forced the fumble? Yep. And
didn't
then it
realize.
Just yeah, no one realized. And it just trickles out of bounds. So, I mean, we could be sitting here talking about a Broncos 9-3 win where Justin Simmons has two interceptions, a forced fumble, and maybe even a fumble recovery. But still, a very good game for Justin. It was good to see him. Him and the defense really get some turnovers.
Yep. And that, I mean, that would have been big. You know, I was going to ask you if you felt any differently or if you would have felt any differently about this game if Brandon McManus had made that field goal at the end.
About the game or the defense?
Just like in general. Would you feel any differently about like the team, the future, the game?
Not much, but I would say, okay, maybe the Broncos are kind of sort of learning how to win.
Okay.
But right now they've just lost in every form and fashion, including today, which may have been just the most gut-wrenching.
Yep. The flip side of that, though, is that like if Justin like or somebody had just recovered that fumble, you would feel a lot better. Like Justin Simmons having a forcing three turnovers a game,
Totally agree.
That would make a big difference. I mean, the defense was obviously good. I think it's a backup quarterback, and that changes some things. And you still have the Pat Surtain pass interference. That it's three games in a row where he hasn't played like a true shutdown superstar cornerback, and that's a very high standard for a 22-year-old.
But that's what the standards should be.
That's what they are.
He's proven that he can have those high standards.
And on that drive to have that penalty, it makes a disappointing game for him.
Yeah.
Would it make it a disappointing game for Damari Mathis? Yeah. Maybe, but it would be pretty close to what you expect is a play like that at some point. And one right there is pretty impactful. So I don't know. I think the defense, you saw a defensive line kind of bounce back a little bit from last week where they didn't seem to care all that much about that game. Front seven was locked in doing their thing. Couple plays behind. Kareem had that one mistake in coverage. There's like a little outbreaking route to the sideline kind of early on. It was a pretty average game for this defense, I think. Maybe just above average after last week weighs everything down.
Which is kind of crazy to say that it was an average game for the defense when they gave up 10 points. But, Henry, you talked about how the Broncos were going up against a backup backup quarterback. In the first quarter against Lamar Jackson, this defense was fired up. They were ready to go. They were ready to shut down this good Ravens offense, and they did. Lamar Jackson played the entire first quarter, and that was it. In the first quarter, the Ravens had 17 total yards. 17, less than two first downs. They had one total first down in the first quarter, and Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens offense, because of two sacks, had one total passing yard.
Yep.
One. Remember we were talking about that with the Russell Wilson struggling so much, 2 weeks ago throwing the ball? That was what the Ravens were doing, or I should say weren't doing, this game. The Broncos defense absolutely was shutting them down, 0 points, of course. Then Lamar Huntley comes in, and it's like, oh, man, if they were doing that to
Tyler
Lamar
Huntley.
Jackson. What'd I say, Lamar Huntley? Yeah. Tyler Huntley comes in. Yeah, exactly. And like you said, he looked like a little dulled-down version of Lamar.
Exactly.
But he looked better than Lamar was looking. So then you kind of take a step back and say, well, was Lamar took kind of just two hits and one of them knocked him out? Was he just that injured in the first quarter? If you kind of want to start picking more holes on the defense. But you don't have to do that. In the second, third, and fourth quarter, the Ravens had about 250 yards of offense, which isn't bad from the Broncos defense. But when you consider a backup quarterback coming in and doing that against you, especially with the way the fourth quarter went, I think you're kind of right. Like, okay, you held the backup to 10 points, but when it mattered the most, they didn't come up again.
Again,
Henry, and they had so many opportunities. You know, you mentioned probably the biggest play in terms of yards was the Mark Andrews pass interference on Pat Surtain, but it was just a methodical, rip your gut out drive. But that the Ravens, and that's a drive that good defenses aren't supposed to allow, regardless of the end of a game. But even in the second quarter, you should not be allowing a 16-place, 91-yard drive at any point if you're a great defense, specifically at the end of the game. Think about that. 16 plays.
That's a lot.
That is incredible. With a backup quarterback, The rush wasn't bad, but it just never got there mm-hmm. when it seemed like it could have to end the game. There was a fourth down conversion late in the red zone that the defense wasn't able to stop. There were just so many times where the Broncos almost had them, but then didn't. And the fact that the special teams actually came up clutch leading into that drive pinned them at the 9. Probably Waitman's best punt and execution all game.
Yep.
And they're able to go 91 yards. Not just go 91 yards, but really suck the clock out too. I mean, they played that drive as perfect as you could.
Yeah. No, that was...
The Ravens did, I should say.
Yeah, that was... It's pretty crazy. And the Broncos still had that chance.
They did.
At the end. And it looked pretty good.
The offense actually did...
After that, it looked nice.
The offense did their job in those... What was it? Wasn't it 31... It was 28 seconds left.
Yeah.
The Broncos did their job.
Yep.
On an offensive standpoint. Russ, to his credit, did his job. They ran it all the way down to 2 seconds left. Even at the end, when they went from 8 seconds to 2 seconds, Russ was still able to pick up a couple of more yards. And then 63-yarder. Should you expect Brandon McManus to hit that?
No. I mean, before the season, I would have said, like, maybe.
Okay.
Right now, no. I mean, he doesn't do that anymore. I mean, he wasn't close. It was way short.
It was way short. It looked like it was a 72-yarder with
it
how
did.
Short he was.
Yeah.
That was probably 10 yards-ish short. That means it wouldn't have even... And maybe he would have kicked it differently, mm-hmm. but it means he wouldn't have even made it from 55. I mean, we're talking about, like, that had to be a 52-yarder.
Yeah.
And so I give the Broncos offense credit there for going 37 yards yep. in 28 seconds with only 3 timeouts. But when we talk about the reason the Broncos offense is in that position is 2 things. One, obviously the offense was just atrocious leading up to that point, but the defense just once again fell apart at the end.
It's just painful. And I think the brightest spot for the defense, I guess that's Simmons with the 2 picks. Other than that, they did get that pass rush going again finally. And it took blitzes and that sort of thing, but the pass rush looked as good as it has since Bradley Chubb left. It's tough to get home against Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley, and that could have been more sacks. There's a little bright spot. It's just, I don't know.
I mean, four sacks, though, I would have taken that coming
definitely,
into today.
Definitely.
Just like you're saying, those are guys that are hard to take down. They get 2 sacks on Lamar in the first quarter, 2 sacks on Huntley in the second, third, and fourth. Just they weren't able to close out. And speaking of, it wasn't obviously all bad because the Broncos defense did hold them to 10 points. The Broncos defense did hold the Ravens to 285 yards. You should win with that. Again, though, we see Alex Singleton and Josie Jewell just shine again.
Yep.
Have you seen their stats, Henry?
No.
Don't look.
I just looked.
You did. Okay, yep. You just saw. Incredible. Both of them are just around the ball the entire game, and it turns out that was the case. They each had 17 tackles. 17 tackles is insane.
It's unbelievable. That doesn't happen very often.
And that was one of the main reasons why, at the end of the game, you look, Lamar Jackson has 9 rushing yards now, was on 1 carry, and Huntley has 41. If I would have told you that Lamar Jackson has 50 or fewer rushing yards, you probably would have taken it. And that's exactly what those quarterbacks combined for, 50 rushing yards. And then the rest of the team, I mean, you had Drake rush for only 29 yards, Edwards for 12 yards, and I think a big credit to those Broncos linebackers for bottling them up most of the game.
Definitely. I mean, it's similar to the Broncos offense, where you look through and say, like, 198 passing yards. 103 rushing yards. Like, what? Which one is better? What's the problem? And this whole game, maybe that's what you take away from this, is that it was kind of a game where nothing happened. It's like, it's all just like the bare minimum, like the most vanilla stats you can find. Nothing really jumps out. It's all pretty balanced. I mean, the 2 picks for the Ravens, it's like, yeah, I guess maybe the rushing game is better. At the same time, one of those was a receiver throwing the ball. So do we really count that one?
Right. That was Harbaugh, whoever is calling that shot, just being way too cute.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's rare I don't like those calls. You just have to throw that one away.
Yeah.
You know, just throw it away, and it would have been just fine. I said on the watch along that they should have had that other quarterback or that other wide receiver throw it instead, that Lamar Jackson.
Pretty good, right?
Pretty good. They do like having those receivers throw. There's a throwback to the combine. But, yeah, I mean, it's – none of it matters. I was talking about this on the watch along as well, where there were a lot of fan bases, probably 20, maybe 20 fan bases, maybe more, who woke up this morning and said, oh, this is a big game. You know, we're fighting for the division, fighting for the one seed, fighting to get into the playoffs. We can get back to 500, have a chance at the playoffs. It's just been a month of games like this where maybe early on you could say there's something there, but it's the same thing. It's just the exact same thing where the offense doesn't do enough. The defense keeps them in the game. Does the defense keep them in the game because the other team doesn't feel like they need to press that much? Because why would they? Because it didn't feel like the Broncos were going to get to double digits, and they didn't.
Yep.
It's just the same thing over and over and over. And, I mean, honestly, hopefully that's the case next week.
Right.
It might be a lot worse.
Yeah, we would be and so I want to ask you a question as we kind of wrap up this game.
Yep.
We talked about it before this game started. Would a cover be considered a win? Would it be a nice little moral victory? Well, Henry, they did cover.
They did.
I mean, they came as close to covering without winning as you can get.
Sure did.
Does it feel good? Is it a moral victory?
No, this doesn't feel good. Of course it doesn't feel good. I will say, I mean, with it being another close loss, you can still stick to that conspiracy theory or whatever you want to call it, that, like, oh, if they just not taken those days off in camp, if the offense would have gotten five drives in the preseason just to work things through, if they were five drives further ahead in this process, where would they be right now? Because there have been so many of these games where it's like, if they were just a tiny bit better, I mean, if they could have picked up 10 more yards at the end, or if they had scored whenever else, there are so many different ways they could get that one extra point, be just a little bit better. And that's how this whole season has gone, starting with week one, where they give the ball to the running backs fumble. They fumble at the 1 yard line twice against the Seahawks. It's like, what happens if either one of them just had been tackled more than zero times in the eight months leading up to that game? They'd just be a little bit more better equipped to hold on to the ball in that situation. It's possible. Could anything else have broken that way? You just go through those games. If they were just five drives offensively better, further ahead in this process, where would they be? Maybe it doesn't make a difference. Maybe it's the difference between whatever 3-9 and 7 wins. 8 wins, probably not, but it's here we are.
And
just a little bit short.
And unfortunately, they've just been a little bit short so many times that it just tells me they're a bad, bad team.
Oh,
a bad football team. And that's the reality of where the Broncos are right now.
Yep.
3-9. And you know what this game locked in, Henry?
Top 10 pick?
Another losing season. And probably a top 10 pick.
We're getting close.
But another losing season. Remember when losing seasons were a big deal back here?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in 2017, it was the first losing season in a while. 2018, it was the first time they had back-to-back losing seasons in, like, nearly 50 years. Now, that's just the norm. And that's what sucks is the Broncos aren't this team that is, you know, competing for Super Bowls year in and year out. No, that's dropped. It's not like it's dropped where they're competing for playoffs year in. No.
Yep.
They're not even competing. They're competing to just not be losers year in and year out, and they've been only losers for the past, what are we now? The Broncos are guaranteed to have a losing season in 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. That's five straight seasons. And at one point, it was a big deal when it was back-to-back.
Yeah.
Just shows what a disaster this organization is in right now.
And, I mean, when's the last time we were at this point in the season still thinking there's a real legitimate chance of going to the playoffs?
Right.
Years and years and years.
Yeah.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And so the Broncos, what sucks about it even more is you can't sit here and say, well, at least their draft pick for the next year's draft in the first round got better, because that's going to Seattle. And I know there's some Seattle Seahawks fans in here thanking the Broncos for that. And it's really tough. And that's just the tough reality that the Broncos are in now. In this one, like you said, Henry, no, it's not a moral victory because of the way it happened.
Yep.
You know, it was the same story, different game. Offense is terrible throughout the entire game, and the defense is great until it matters most, and they crumble enough to lose the game. And then let's just put a little sprinkle on top. Special teams messes up, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, fun sprinkle. Corliss did not have a good game either.
No. Do you think he's vindicated at all by Brandon McManus missing that field goal so short? Like, his punts are coming in short. It's like the wind, it's the environment. Does that bail him out at all?
It probably should, but it won't. But yeah, maybe.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or McManus will use that in the opposite and be like, Corliss wasn't able to kick it far, so I wasn't
that's
either.
That's what's going
to
happen.
But if that's the case and you knew there was no shot, then you should have done the Hail Mary. If you knew there was no shot.
Without Courtland Sutton.
I'm curious tomorrow, potentially ask Hackett on that. Like, what was McManus's range? Because they always know going into a game at that specific field with those conditions, I can't imagine it was 63 yards just because of how short he was.
Yep.
So,
Dulcich was fun.
Greg Dulcich was
fun.
There we
go.
You know what? You want to throw out some positive players super quick? Because I think Greg Dulcich deserves that.
Dulcich was definitely one of them. Noticed Damari a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
He probably doesn't deserve to be this high on the list, but he popped a couple times.
Had a few good tackles as well. Jerry Jeudy comes in his first game
definitely.
Back in a couple of weeks and goes out, catches all four passes thrown his way for 65 yards, including one that looked like it was going to be overturned, but it wasn't.
Yep. Mentioned the linebackers. Josie had that one play, the pressure on the third down, I think on the first drive, where he just blew up the running back. That was great. Barron got a sack.
Yeah, the defensive lineman.
Ooh, Deshaun Williams.
Deshaun Williams.
First two sacks of the season.
What'd you think of after Prochet threw the interception, him just kind of guiding him off the field, showing him where his bench was? I love that.
I love it. I love it.
Now you got to toe the line.
As long as you don't get the penalty.
Exactly.
As soon as there's a penalty, you're an idiot. But as long as there's no penalty, I love it.
Who got the boneheaded penalty
near the
end of the game?
The late hit?
It was Singleton.
Yeah.
Maybe I gotta take back the praise I had from earlier. You can ball out all game, but
that's
one of those
one.
And I mean it was a penalty. He just nailed him right in the head. You can't do that. The Broncos also had another boneheaded mistake in the first half. I can't remember what it was though. It's like the Broncos, what did they? They finished the game. How many penalties
here? Is there
a
delay game?
There
was it a false start, Russ?
Russ had a false start, which was brutal. Yeah. And early in the third quarter, instead of taking a delay of game, which one you shouldn't have, by the way, Noah Fant just scored a touchdown. So that sucks in that trade. There was in the third quarter, almost a delay of game, but instead they call a timeout. One, you should never be in a delay of game situation. Two, take the 5 yards, because you know how nice it would have been on that last drive to have another timeout.
Very nice.
You can take those timeouts in the first half. You can't do it in the second half, though. You just can't. And in the game, the Broncos they finished with four penalties for 48 yards.
Incredible for them.
Incredible for them. Unfortunately, they weren't just like, ones that didn't matter. Three, if not all four of them, had big-time impacts. And that's just the Denver Broncos. It's like when they do some things great, like on defense today, holding a team to 10 points, they fail when it matters the most. Same with penalties, same with offense, same with special teams.
That's why it's easy to say, like, was it Russ? Was it Latavius? Was it the play calling? It's like, maybe it's just Hackett. Maybe it's one where you say, like, everything seemed to go wrong. Who do you blame for just, like, everything going wrong or, like, bad things? It's like, hey, coach. Just go up the food chain, way up to the very top.
Why stop there? Let's keep going.
Could be George Payton.
Could be George Payton.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to be diving into that this week. So you want to make sure to stay tuned to thednvr.com. Also, stay tuned to this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube form, hit us with a thumbs up. We'd really appreciate it. Can't tell you how much that helps us out and how much we appreciate it. And just because you hit us with a thumbs up does not mean that you're supporting another Broncos loss. Just means that you're supporting us. And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere that it's a podcast form, hit us with a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. And let's get to the comment section. But first, got to tell you about our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. I know a couple of us were doing some live bets during the Broncos game over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Did it work out for you, Henry? You don't have to reveal what you did, but...
I feel like I should. It's a good one. So I bet on the Ravens at like plus 460 to win.
How dare you. On that final drive?
No, it was right before that, right around there. Broncos might still, right around there.
Okay. Plus 460.
Cashed out, would have been cashed out around like plus 300.
Okay.
No, it was even more than that.
That's great.
Because it was toward the end. Took about half the winnings, put it on the Broncos to win before their final drive at plus 2,000, 20 to 1 odds. Would have been a massive payday if that field goal had gone in, which it looked like it was going to for a bit.
Yep.
Luckily, I still came out. My profit was double, so I guess 2 units ahead.
There
I finished 2 units ahead.
There we go. And I came out, I was not as in depth as you were, but I came out a unit ahead. And that's just one of the things I love about DraftKings Sportsbook is the live betting. And you can do that. You can even do it with free money. And here's how to get free money. If you're a new user and you go over to DraftKings Sportsbook, you place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win, and that team simply wins, you get $153 in your account, which you can use on any game, at any sport as well. And get in on that because it's a great way to start building your account. So check them out. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR when you sign up. That's promo code DNVR over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And, of course, see our show notes for details. And one more thing, we had a great commenter point out. Over 400 people listening live right now and only 36 likes. Hit us with a thumbs up, please.
And when you're done hitting us with a thumbs up, head on over to AmericanRaptors.com. Get yourself some tickets to a rugby match out in Glendale, which is actually called Rugby Town USA. Mm. It's called that because that's where the U.S. national team plays and trains and all that sort of stuff. The American Raptors take athletes from other sports, teach them how to play rugby, try to get them onto that national team, which trains at the same facilities. It's a really cool program they've got going out there. Tickets are free, so you can go online and claim them. You can also, you know, obviously follow along with the team. You can watch the games on the website. But also make sure you're following along with Colton Strickler, DNVR Rugby. A lot of great stuff over there. Check it out.
Bada bing, bada boom. Let's hop into the comment section. Talk to the people. Got some super chats here. First one. Coming in for your mama llamas says, somehow the Broncos give us hope and rip it away every week. We win the game if we don't waste the timeout in the second half.
Ooh.
And the Mark Andrews flop for PI was an award-winning performance. Cheers.
I hadn't gone all the way through and connected those dots. Like, you cannot blow that timeout there.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I hadn't gone back and thought, like, oh, yeah, third timeout on that final drive really would have made a difference.
Right.
Being able to take a play on that last one, I mean, that should be worth another 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the difference? Potentially.
Maybe if it's more like 7 or 8 yards
McMahon
has kicked that one. I mean, you pointed out. What did you think? Did you think Mark Andrews had a flop there?
I didn't. It might have been. I didn't really think about it.
It could, because I agree. I didn't think about if it was a flop or not. But one thing that you just cannot do, Henry, is you can't put your hands on a guy when the ball's in the air like that. So it was going to be called pretty much regardless. And
it was.
Receivers, good tight ends, are taught to do that, are taught to act like that if they're touched.
So what happens when you lose position and don't have time to get your head around?
Yep.
Like, if he turns around, that's an interception.
Right.
And he hasn't had one of those, and that, you know, you get a couple of opportunities.
Yeah.
You can't blow the opportunities you get. Yeah. Does that mean Pat Surtain is bad? No. Does it mean he might have trouble being an All-Pro this year? We'll find out at the end of the year. Still a good season. That's a 3-game stretch where he struggled now, though.
He should be a Pro Bowler.
Definitely.
As of right now, though, I don't think he's in terms of the fan vote.
I don't think so either.
So I don't think he's on pace for All Pro right now, just with the way these past 3 games have gone.
Wasn't there something
crazy to say?
I'm gonna look into this Pro Bowl voting because I think there's some crazy Broncos stuff.
Oh, really, really, really bad Broncos stuff.
That's what
I Bronco thought. Was in the top 10 in their position.
That's and I wasn't willing to say that without being sure.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought it was. No Broncos in the top 10 at their position.
Yep. Not Pat Surtain.
In the AFC, right? Or is that whole league?
In the
AFC.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's even worse. Because you only talk about half the league. That does include Pat Surtain. You know, there was one Bronco in the top 10.
Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb, who is no... I mean, that is just even worse right there. Brutal. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Coming in from Dan Peters says, This team is so hard to even support. Definitely no happiness in investing time and money into this. What are one to two things we need to fix our offense?
Offensive line would go a long way. Nobody wants to talk about the offensive line. It sounds crazy when you say that the offensive line is like the most important part of the team. It's pretty close to it, though. I mean, quarterback, I guess, has to be number one. Offensive line, in my mind, is a pretty easy number two. Part of that's because it's five guys, you know, not just like, oh, the receivers. There's two guys, maybe three on the field. Offensive line is just so impactful in every single game. It's the consistent thread amongst all good teams, and all bad teams have bad ones. But nobody really cares because nobody really wants to pay attention to them because they're no fun.
Yep.
But that is the biggest thing to me. You get the offensive line going, all of a sudden Russ has more time. All of a sudden the running game, maybe instead of getting 3 yards per carry, winds up with 4 yards per carry. And in a one-point loss, that's a big difference. Now, if it turns out to be a good offensive line, maybe that's 5 yards per carry. And then the difference between 3 and 5 could be the difference between 9 points and 28 points.
Right.
So to me, it all starts and ends with the offensive line. And part of that is because Russ is a Bronco for quite a while longer, so that's not even really a conversation.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's where it is. So you have to build around Russ. You have to do everything you can to build around him. On top of offensive line, I'll say offensive playmaker. You got to get yourself one of those because, unfortunately, you can't count on Javonte to be that guy. Certainly not next year. Maybe not the rest of his career with just how brutal the injury was. It's a lot easier said than done, but get yourself an offensive playmaker.
It is, and it's one of those things where you really can't change over your receivers too much this year. You could probably trade Jerry and open up a hole, but when you have Sutton, you have Patrick, you have Jerry, like maybe you can add a fourth in the mix, but that it's just not a position that screams, like, revamp this one this offseason.
Right.
But what would be a nice combo, especially with Javonte likely to miss the beginning of next season, one of those running backs who can play some receiver, who can move around. And would trading for Christian McCaffrey have been a smart move? Probably not. Like, everyone would say, well, they're not competitive this year. Well, you'd have him next year, too. And that is the exact kind of spark that could... I mean, who do you want eating your carries? Christian McCaffrey or Latavius Murray?
Easy.
Like, it's an easy one. So a player like that would be awesome. It makes me wonder if... Was he a second and a third to get him?
I believe so, yeah.
Sounds pretty nice right about now.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty nice. Especially the way the contract works out where the cap hits aren't that big because so much of it's a signing bonus that the Panthers are paying.
Well, and now you got to figure that out, how to go get your own one of those. And that's going to be on George Payton or whoever's in town.
Will not be easy.
It won't be. All right, next one from Ash Loon 22 says... from the UK, thank you, says, have to look at positives. One, our defense is incredible. Two, Greg Dulcich is far better than Noah Fant. And three, we are one touchdown a game from greatness.
Not wrong. I mean.
One touchdown. One more touchdown would be 16 points. 16 points is that troll number that's just garbage.
Yeah.
And the Broncos were a touchdown shy of that, Henry.
Yes.
Just to put into perspective how bad today was from the offensive end.
Yeah. But again, like a touchdown a game, there's a really big difference between 14.3 and 21.3, which would make him league average with a defense that's been really good. And one touchdown from greatness, if you call 9-3 greatness, a touchdown, I think, probably gets you there. Touchdown a game, you're probably at 9 wins right now. That's a... obviously a massive difference between what's happened. That's 50% more offensive production. So it's not, I mean, that'd be a massive difference. Yes.
It certainly would be. And this year, Greg Dulcich just since coming in, just only about a month ago, he almost has as many receiving yards on the year as Noah Fant does. And Noah Fant has played in every single game or nearly every single game. So just shows
it's nice to
some
throw that in
positives.
There.
I'm glad that you pointed that out, Ash. Next one and last one as of now from Steve says, we know the Broncos were going to lose on the last drive by the Ravens. The Broncos knew too. We do not have a team that believes in itself and can't really argue with that. Yeah, it goes back to just Broncos don't know how to win, and it's sad. But that's just the state they're in, and you're probably right, Steve. It does bleed over there. Probably it's just every fan with entering the fourth quarter was feeling bad about it. The Broncos players probably were as well. And
Definitely. That
was something that Russell Wilson was supposed to change. He was supposed to be the winner. He was supposed to be the guy that changed the mentality, the culture, the belief in the locker room. And it's not all on him, but it obviously hasn't happened.
Yep. I mean, the only way you average 14 points per game is if a lot of things are going wrong. Is it all Russell Wilson's fault? No. Is it all the coach's fault? No. Is it all whoever? I mean, but everybody deserves a whole lot of blame because there's a lot to go around.
Yeah, there is a lot to go around. Just like this next comment from Jay Bun Trock says,
yeah. There we go.
Broncos are a perfect storm of bad coaching, historically bad offense, injuries, and a defense that is the exact opposite of clutch.
They are, which is kind of crazy because, like, clutch time, 5-10% of the game. So really, they're really good for 90-95%. You'd think that'd be a good thing.
Yep.
Really has turned out to be the opposite.
It's yeah.
Like, you'd rather just have them good than give up something somewhere else and know that you have some work to do.
And it's just why in our pick'em that we posted this week, Henry, it said the question was, what's the number one thing for the Broncos in order to change things? And I believe we were all offensive-based. But
yeah.
I said tear down the defense in order to build the offense up, because we just see it year in and year out. You cannot yep. successfully win year in and year out with a good defense, because all it takes is one drive by another team. If you have such a bad offense, all it takes is your defense breaking down once in order to. But if you have a good offense, they can break down many times in a game and you can still put up 30 points. Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs, with 11 minutes left in the second quarter, have 3 points. The Cincinnati Bengals have 14 points. You think the Chiefs think right now that there's no chance they win the game?
I just took them at +255.
Yeah,
because I think they're going to win.
Unfortunately, I'm probably going to tail you with that, because I agree. I'm right there with you, Henry. And it's because they have the offense. They
yep.
have the offense, and that's what the Broncos are so desperately, desperately missing. Man, what a good vent sesh.
Yeah. Yeah. Excited for a whole nother week of this.
Oh, don't forget, Broncos play the Chiefs next week, so I'm sure that's going to be fun. Probably a lot of venting after that as well.
How would you feel about a 10-9 loss to the Chiefs?
I'd feel... Does Patrick Mahomes play the whole
yeah.
game?
Oh, yeah, he plays the whole game.
Yeah, I feel good.
I think that's a win.
That would be a moral victory.
That's a
for
win.
Sure. Whereas yep. today just doesn't feel like that.
No, it does not.
And speaking of, the Chiefs are starting to get some momentum on their side.
Sure are.
So we'll see if the Chiefs are entering this game as the lone number one seed in the AFC, or if they'll be tied with the Bills. We've got so much Broncos talk to come.
Yep.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow. We're going to be going live right around noon, so make sure to turn on alerts, subscribe to the YouTube page, hit us with the thumbs up on your way out. We really appreciate everyone tuning in with us today. Thank you so much, especially after a loss. We're all in this together as the Broncos fall to 3-9, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Roll out the truck and took a country drive. Now understand that you need some time. I know some landmarks we used to hit, where flying cotton would stick to your lips. For one subtle smile. too bad.